Let's head back to the futures.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. There was a bathtub drone thing just came in about getting bathtubs delivered by drone. Let's wait for the next half hour.
That sounds like some pretty powerful drones. That's a pretty heavy bathtub.
I know, right? Especially if it has someone in it and water. Boy, that's some powerful drone.
Where did you run across this?
It just came in from Richard Von Donk up in Middleton. Thanks, Richard. Hope you're listening. So on the line, we have none other than our digital nomad on the loose.
That's right. I'm looking at his Twitter.com page. Shannon Leonard is the crypto digital nomad. Let me just read your introduction here, Shannon Crypto Leonard.
Yeah, let's look at your narrative here for a second.
I think this is great on Twitter.
Yeah.
Thinking about crypto, famous for being unknown. Let me entertain you with my videos, sounds, pictures, and words, which you are very entertaining, Shannon. I very much enjoy your pictures, sounds, videos, and words.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Likewise.
And happy 23, by the way. I know, chance to...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, your birthday was just last month.
It's happened, 23.
Yeah. How does it feel?
It feels good. It feels good. You know, I don't quite buy into the reality of time 100%, I guess. I don't know. I do in some ways, but as time goes on, I guess I believe in it more and more.
Yes. Well, you've had 23 years to experience just what it's like.
Exactly.
So where are you now?
Now I'm in Portland, Oregon.
Ah. Are you working there at a job, or are you just visiting, or what?
Well, this is part of the digital nomad life. I can kind of be anywhere, and I do love Portland.
And somehow, that's your métier. That's where you feel like you need to be right now. Okay.
Just the nature and the. I do have some producers and friends here, so I'm able to get editing jobs if I need to. But mostly, I've actually been trading cryptocurrencies recently, so that also allows me to be nomadic.
Let's talk about trading cryptocurrencies.
You know, we've all been hearing about crypto from all different points of view, but from where you're standing, how have you been approaching it? Are you taking it seriously? Have you actually invested money in it?
Oh, yeah. In the past 6 months, I'd say almost 100% of my assets have been in crypto.
100%? Whoa.
Yeah, that's right. It really is the future of finance. That being said, there's a whole bunch of hype. There's a whole bunch of mania out there right now.
Yeah.
I'm not advising anyone to go and put everything.
No, just your experience.
Crypto.
And you're someone at 23, you're out on the road with a backpack, and you don't own anything yet. So
let me just ask you,
it's a different phase of life, right?
Yeah. Okay. It's probably very easy to put your money into crypto, but is it easy to get it out so that you can spend it?
That's a great question. And the answer is yes. It just depends on how you do it. We're in the stage right now where it's very technical. It's very nerdy. So there's about 1,000 different ways of storing cryptocurrency. And depending on which way you use, it can be easier or harder. Things like Coinbase are exchanges that are broadly used in America.
It's an app on my phone, a Coinbase. Last time I checked, they tracked 3 cryptos out of a field of how many are there? Like 1,000?
Over 1,000 at this point. Thousands, probably, at this point. Yeah, and I think they have 4 cryptos on there now. They have over 13 million users. Huge crypto. So if you're using an exchange like that, it's fairly easy to get your money out. However,
so you can exchange your crypto for real, actual dollars.
But I heard it took a few days, though, before you saw your money.
It does take a few days with Coinbase. There's other exchanges that have different times for that. However, using exchanges is actually risky, to be honest. If anyone who's kind of in the inside crypto world, But the first thing they'll tell you is never store your coins on an exchange, because the whole idea of cryptocurrency is decentralization.
So ultimately, you want something in your phone or on your person, like a flash drive or something.
Yeah, they've created a hardware wallet. It's sort of like a flash drive. It's like a little mini computer.
But what if somebody can still steal your wallet as soon as you have matter you're carrying
around? Well, they can steal, but they can't use it.
Exactly, yeah.
But how easy is it to recover it if you lose it?
Well, it goes back to pen and paper. So if your hardware wallet gets burnt up or stolen,
and it's gone,
or whatever, you have to keep on pen and paper this 24-word key. And that is really important to keep safe. And that's up to you on how you do that, whether it's a safety deposit box or just deep underground or whatever you want to do. Yeah. But if your wallet is stolen, you can just use that 24-word key to recover all your coins.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's,
so it comes back to
that 24-word key is a function of your digital wallet. So it's a software solution. Who requires this 24-word key?
Who gives you access?
There's no central control. The idea behind decentralization. So you can use several different methods of recovering those coins once you have that key. That key, basically, what it does is it decrypts your, what they call your private keys. And those private keys, it's essentially a whole bunch of hashes and numbers. And that hashes and numbers cannot be reversed back to the 24 words the way they've designed it. It's all just basically mathematics on a deep level. Once you have that, you're good to go. Of course, if someone has access to those 24 words, then they have access to everything.
Yes,
so
it comes down to that.
You have to be careful.
Yeah, very careful at that point. I guess that.
However, on one thing to note is, though, on exchanges, you don't have access to your private keys. So when you're using Coinbase, you're trusting them, and that's putting your trust in a third party.
Would that be akin to an online bank account?
Yes, exactly. And Coinbase is backed by the FDIC for the same amount that banks are backed by. So it's very similar to a bank account. And that's what we're trying to move away from, really, with the idea of decentralization. You don't have to trust the government. Like, every single dollar bill in your wallet is only valuable because the Federal Reserve says it's valuable. And as we've seen in the past few years, the Federal Reserve likes printing money, and we can't stop them. So, you know, they can print as much money as they want. And if you actually look at the charts going back decades, the value of the U.S. dollar has dropped significantly.
Well, I ask you, after the break, if you can't trust the government, who can you trust?
Mathematics. That's the answer.
All right, let's get into that a little bit. After the break, talking to Shannon Leonard, digital nomad on cryptocurrency. Hey, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking to Shannon Leonard, digital nomad, on his investigations into cryptocurrency. And I just asked the question, if you're not really trusting centralized currencies anymore, which are mostly run by governments, then what are we trusting in? And you said?
Mathematics. Yep.
Mathematics. Okay, so the blockchain, I guess, is what we're referring to here. And trust in the blockchain?
Well, it's not just the blockchain. There's new technologies being developed, such as the hash graph, that is going to even go beyond what the blockchain does as far as transaction speed and scalability. Essentially, what we're talking about here is decentralized finance, decentralized computing. Actually, with Ethereum, they have decentralized applications as well. What the blockchain is, it's a public registry. It's a ledger.
Right.
That is not stored in one location. It's stored in millions of locations.
So lots of copies of it.
Yeah, across computers across the world. Computers like my computer and your computer. Of course, ours don't have the blockchain because we're not mining. When you mine Bitcoin, you're actually confirming the transactions. You're keeping that ledger. That's how the mining comes into play with Bitcoin and keeps it truly trustless.
So when you do a transaction with this system, why does it take 3 days for a transaction to occur or to be completed? What's slowing it down?
If you're referring to Coinbase, how Coinbase takes 3 days to withdraw?
Yeah.
Well, Coinbase is doing that on their side. They're just holding it so they can benefit from those extra 3 days.
There's a lot of day trading involved at this that and different levels.
Yeah, that's just on the exchange. The actual technology of Bitcoin, that just takes an hour to confirm. Other currencies like Litecoin, which I'm very bullish on, Litecoin takes minutes. This is very early days. This is like we're going to see a lot of ups and downs. It's by no means going to be an easy solve. These things are still in development.
Yeah,
so even with Bitcoin, right. We're something like Lightning protocol. Lightning is going to be integrated into Bitcoin, which will create instant, almost zero cost transactions into the Bitcoin protocol itself, not to mention all the other cryptocurrencies. So yeah, we're definitely in early days.
So what do you think?
And that's something to be aware of.
What do you think the adoption rate will be? You think it'll be a gradual transition, like a smooth transition between scenes from using centralized currencies to decentralized currencies, or do you think it'll be a sudden shift? I mean, what's your prediction?
That's a good question. Because if it was a sudden shift, that would mean something catastrophic.
That would be
happening
more
in the fiat
as a
world.
Film editor. You'd be more of a smash cut.
Exactly. That would mean like the Federal Reserve collapsed or something.
Yeah, no, probably not necessarily. It wouldn't look good as cinematically as a story. What would be better, a story from your cinematic eye?
Well, I'd say what we're going to see is a gradual adoption.
Smooth transition. You know, then. Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be some bumps. There's going to be some spikes. Like we just hit $10,000 for one Bitcoin in December, and that caused huge mania, huge hype, a lot of new investors coming in, and then we've seen the crashes. So there's going to be a lot of crashes. There's going to be regulations. You know how regulations come into play. That's going to be very interesting to watch.
And everybody who...
However, the overall idea of these decentralized worldwide protocol finance with no borders, that idea you can't roll back at this point. We're too far along the government can't simply shut down the block. It's impossible to shut down the blockchain just by the nature that it's built. So even if they ban it, even if a government bans it, there's going to be ways, kind of like, weirdly enough, it's kind of like alcohol or something, you know, with prohibition.
Yeah,
you know, they try to come in and it'll find a way.
A little Dutch boy with his finger in the dike.
The time frame of this is up for debate.
Right. The timing is everything on this.
So, Shannon, let's review a little bit of your history. So you were walking along one day and decided you were going to get into cryptocurrency. So what was your insight and what did you do to get from there till now?
Well, I first heard about Bitcoin back in 2010, 2011. Bitcoin started in 2009. From an anonymous creator, of course. There's a lot of interesting history there. I was very intrigued by just the technology behind it. So back in 2011, I dug deep into what the blockchain actually was. At that time, though, it was very shady. The exchanges were not very trustworthy. So there was mostly used for criminal activity on things like Silk Road. And it took several years for and major crashes for it to kind of get out of that. And Coinbase is an example of the mainstream version. Coinbase made huge strides on bringing cryptocurrency into the mainstream. So as far as me going back on my radar, it was about a year ago when Ethereum started to pick up steam.
What was going on in your life at that point? Did you need to make money at that point? And you started to see that this maybe was another alternative to traditional financial mechanisms?
You know, it's never really been about that. There's a lot of investors and there's a lot of speculation coming into it. And I am benefiting from speculation right now with my trades. Yeah. But the core philosophy behind this is you buy low and then you never sell. Because
I think that was in one of your reports. Yeah.
Yeah. Because this is something that, you know, these global protocols of finance, it's kind of like buying the railroads. And then as cargo is moved on top of it, you gain profit. But this is really a foundational thing. Frankly, as important as the internet was back in the 90s, we're still at an early stage. It's almost like how HTTP and protocols like IMAP and POP for email, those were developed and not many people understood them. There was a lot of skepticism, actually, about the internet back in the 90s.
Sure was, yeah. Perhaps another good analogy might be the previous century when the industrialization of America was happening and the railroads were being built and roads were being created and cars at the same time. All these things were happening and who knew what would prevail.
So I have a real just brass tacks question for you. So at some point you wanted to get into Ethereum. Now, Ethereum is a cryptocurrency that's quite popular. It's probably just about as well known as Bitcoin. What is special about Ethereum? What made you pay attention to it? And what did you do? Did you spend $500 and buy some Ethereum? How did you get into the crypto world?
I got into the crypto world through Coinbase. My first investments were into Litecoin and into Ethereum. Ethereum really jumped out at me. The idea of decentralized applications is the major breakthrough. So Bitcoin is a store of value. It's a currency. It's a store of value. Ethereum took that idea of decentralized finance, and I kind of took it to the next level by saying, okay, well, now we have all these decentralized nodes, these decentralized computers. Why don't we use that for computing power? So through things like smart contracts, you're actually able to build entire businesses on top of the Ethereum network in a decentralized way. So this will, and we'll see this over the next few years, will really disrupt in huge industries such as healthcare, sharing economies like Airbnb and Uber. The blockchain is going to do is take out the middleman there. So really, you're literally transacting directly over a peer-to-peer network other people, and you're not having to pay those ridiculous fees.
So would you say that Ethereum is creating its own whole ecosystem? It's not just currency, but a whole, you know, with a lifestyle?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what can you buy with Ethereum?
Can you buy more stuff with Ethereum than the other currencies? Is there really pragmatic?
The thing you can buy with Ethereum the most right now is other currencies, cryptos. There's actually a whole class of cryptocurrency called the ECR20 token. And the ECR20 is built on top of the Ethereum network. And a lot of these new cryptos like Tron or Stellar, the OX protocol, Poet, these are built on top of the ECR20 methodology.
It's the foundation, the ECR20.
So as far as what you can buy like in stores, the projects like Litecoin, founded by Charlie Lee, which was he was on the engineering team at Coinbase, but now founded Litecoin. Litecoin is dedicated to become the cryptocurrency of payments. So they're already doing deals they're figuring out how to integrate their technology into our day-to-day life. So in 5 years, you might be buying your coffee with Litecoin. Sites like Overstock.com already accept Bitcoin, a lot of sites. But really right now, it's not really about buying things in the real world yet, where it's too early for that at this point. Right now, it's literally developing the core foundation of what the decentralized future will become.
So what gives it its value currently? And actually, you'll have to tell us about this after we go to a break, because we're about 10 seconds away from our...
Oh, sure. Yeah,
And also, Gregory sends in an article. Why doesn't the U.S. government HODL seized bitcoins? The U.S. government keeps seized cash, but auctions seized bitcoin. What's up with that?
Lots of controversy.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back after the break.
Fascinating.
With Shannon Leonard talking about cryptocurrencies and beyond.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back after the news.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Peter Show. We're talking with Shannon Leonard, digital nomad on the loose, currently a report on cryptocurrency and its rather rapid adoption, I might say. We have a caller. Would you like to take a call, Shannon?
Absolutely.
All right.
All right. Nick from Royal Oaks.
Nick, hey, welcome to the show.
You have the floor.
Thanks. You have to have a question of where is the value coming from. I hope you answer that. My question is, can I get a Bitcoin for $5? I heard of the price of Bitcoin years ago, and now I heard things like you had $3 million invested, you'd have like $30 million. I mean, how fast can you get more than Trump? It's a blessing when you get that money so easy to put land away for care and storage and not keep it out of the worst of hands. That's a blessing, but the trust, you say there's none. And what's the value? I mean, what do I do with $5?
There you go, Shannon.
Well, that's a great question.
What do you got to say?
That's a great question. You addressed a few things there. The first was about making money. And at this point, if you're in it for the speculation, if you're in it for making money, that's not really the right motives. There's a lot of hype around this right now. The price is going to go down. There might be years of bear market. If you buy into cryptocurrency, you really need to be in it for the long term. And so, I believe that it will be hugely beneficial if you had that for the long term. That's just my opinion, of course.
Well, what about if the value goes to zero? What about if you hold on to it and you started out with $1,000 and then 10 years from now, nobody wants it?
The answer to that question is then you'd have $0, of course. But that's a hypothetical situation.
Well, I guess the idea is to get into it when it's low, sell it when it reaches a high point. But you say you don't say you hold on to it, is what you're saying. The traditional model is to get out when you have made back your principal, and then whatever's in there is profit that you're working.
That's the standard investor look at this. Yeah, and there is money to be made by doing that. You can make money by playing the market because the incredible volatility. Hmm. That's what I've been doing. I've been doing that over the past few months. However, the chance of it going to zero is definitely a risk. However, once you look into the technology, once you get beyond the hype, you get beyond what people are talking about, and you dive deep into, okay, what actually is this? What are we talking about
here? Yeah, I mean, is it like a horse race where there's only a few that win? Or can thousands thrive simultaneously, for example?
Well, let's follow the breadcrumb trail. Okay. At one point in time, you had $500 in your pocket, and you turned that $500 into, you probably put it in a bank account, and then you used that bank account to go to Coinbase and buy some Ethereum. Right? So you took your money and you bought some different money called Ethereum. Then what happened?
Then the price goes up.
So that investment strategy that worked, right? Did you sell some at that point or did you just keep holding?
Having all of my assets in cryptocurrency means that I cash out when I need to eat. So I do use that.
All right.
I do use the money and I use fiat for buying food.
Is that what you call dollars? You call dollars fiat?
So fiat is money that is controlled by a centralized entity, usually a government.
Yeah, like a green.
So like the American dollar. But I do want to get back to that original question of what actually brings value to stuff like to protocols like Bitcoin and Ethereum. Mm-hmm. And I would respond with pointing out that in actuality, the US dollar actually has no intrinsic value either, other than the fact that it is issued by the United States. We lost the gold backing is long gone.
Well, there's a trust there, but it's a trust that's shared by millions. So it has a reality to it from that context.
Well, I mean, every piece of fiat currency says in God we trust. And it really means that we trust that somebody will take that dollar in exchange for something that you want. Right.
And, you know, it's supposed to be us. Right. So we got to trust it. But
that's the same system that crypto works on, except for a huge, huge difference.
The us is actually a shared database.
Is that you're not actually, you may be trusting the other people, but with USD, you're also trusting the government as well.
Yeah.
So cryptocurrency creates a decentralized
solution. It's a completely completely transparent ledger.
Yeah, decentralized means there's no one single point of failure. So, and the more you get into this, the more you realize how impactful that really is. You know, that has kind of become a buzzword, but it really is massive. Just think about, for example, the control that the governments that put on money is a massive control mechanism. And like I pointed out earlier, the value of the US dollar has been decreasing and decreasing. If you look at the charts over the past 40, 50, 100 years, it's dropping dramatically. It's gone from $1 to 25 cents over a span of decades, the value.
So this represents an alternative, not just to the US dollar, but any hierarchically based money system.
Yeah, it's global. There's no borders here. This is a global.
Decentralized. And decentralized is ultimately as powerful a mechanism of exchange as centralized.
But the problem is that you have this decentralized currency, but you can't buy anything with it until you turn it into the fiat currency that is already accepted.
Currently, but if it's a changing mosaic, more and more people will be accepting decentralized currencies.
Right? Exactly. We're at the stage that the internet was in the early 90s.
Transitional things,
You couldn't send the pre-Cambrian era. It's the same idea, like you can have an email address, in 1994, but good luck trying to send that email to anyone if no one's connected to the internet. These protocols are still being, but of course today you'd say, oh, can't send an email, and everyone will laugh at you because it's become the norm. So we're in very, very early stages with cryptocurrency. There's way too much hype. The hype surrounding this is really not a good thing.
All right. Well, that's the other thing is that what are the most common scams that you've seen?
Oh, wow.
Ponzi schemes?
Yeah, there's been a lot. The most recent one is called BitConnect. Mm. You got to be very, very careful in the cryptocurrency space. Again, please do your own research. BitConnect was, they basically advertised they had a trading robot that was somehow giving you a better return than just trading yourself. A lot of influencers and founders in the space tried to warn people, listen, this is a Ponzi scheme, don't invest in this, and yet people still did. And once they had $3 billion,
Ponzi scheme.
Once they had $3 billion, they just shut down their website.
How long did it take them to get $3 billion?
I believe it was over the course of a few months. So
a few months, my God.
Yeah, and we're going to see more scams. We're going to see regulations. I am an optimist, but I'm not a blind optimist when it comes to cryptocurrency. This is by no means going to be an easy path to success. This is not a get-rich-quick situation. This is something much bigger. This is really, forget America. This is going to affect the world in a huge way. We're talking about banking the unbanked. A lot of countries that people live in, they're currencies are actually more volatile than Bitcoin is.
Like Venezuela.
Exactly. And many other countries. So,
well, I understand they are. Venezuela is trying to do their own crypto now, something called the Petro. Have you heard about that at all?
Yeah, it's supposedly backed by their oil.
Their gold reserves. And their diamond reserves that they have as a government.
However, the U.S. government came out and said that it may actually be illegal for them to be doing that because it violates some regulations that go against like something to do with them giving out debt. So the U.S. is already kind of slapping that back a little bit. That's an example of governments seeing crypto as kind of an easy way out. And I'm not sure, I haven't researched too deeply into that. That may be successful, may not be, but that's an example of a lot of people, it's true that a lot of people are taking advantage of the hype around this. That being said, I do think there is still huge potential in this space, and I'm really excited to see over the next 5 to 10 years how it changes the world.
Hmm. Very good. Well, thank you very much. You want to stick around for a little bit longer for questions coming in from the audience?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right.
Love
stand
to
by.
Stick around.
Okay, we have. You want to give Shannon a call? 479-1080, 831-479-1080. Any questions about crypto? Give us a call now. Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking with Shannon Leonard, our digital nomadness friend out on the road investigating cryptocurrency right now. And we have a caller, Mrs. Future?
We do. Nick in Royal Oaks had another question, and then we've got another few people lined up.
Okay, so, let's Nick? Get rolling.
Hi.
Okay, Nick.
For the better good, I'd say my odds of taking out a loan for Bitcoin at the beginning of it would have been better than now, because they didn't. A lot of people at the beginning, I suppose, are cashing out big. Are you saying it's, as far as getting rich quick, that phase is over with?
First of all, I would never take out a loan for that. I always spend money that you're willing to lose when it comes to investments. That's kind of a rule of thumb in the investment world. However, there is still a lot of potential for cryptocurrency.
Still the
that
early
being
days.
Said,
yeah,
it's very early days, but you have to be prepared for years of a bear market. Bear market meaning down. So if you're in it for the long run, absolutely. Not to the level of taking out loans. Don't take out any loans. But if you have spare cash that you would rather just spend on like a t-shirt or something, think of it as throwing it into the fireplace and burning it up. Then I would recommend investing in crypto just because of the pure potential there. Of course, that's just my advice.
Someone else sent in a question, says, would cryptocurrency work in an apocalyptic scenario?
Apocalyptic? Well, if the solar flare comes and wipes all the hard drives.
Yeah. No, it's gone,
I don't know if
right?
I can argue with that.
My hard drives are gone. My money.
I will say that the decentralized nature of cryptocurrencies would dramatically increase the chance that someone has stored a blockchain ledger in a deep underground vault as opposed to a centralized point of failure. If the solar flare just wipes out the PayPal servers, well, all the money you had in PayPal is gone. With cryptocurrency, there's not one server you have to wipe out. There's millions. So
it's truly decentralized, like the internet's supposed to be.
All right, we've got another question.
Ms. Future, we had another caller?
We do. Mm-hmm. Hello, Dominic. You have a question about cryptocurrency?
Hey, Dominic.
Okay, my question is, what's going to happen once quantum computing comes online to it?
Well, quantum computing, yeah, that is a big issue.
That's a great question. I recommend you look at Kevin Rowe's podcast with someone, Mr. Antonopoulos, address that question in his podcast. Basically, the quick answer is, as quantum computing develops, so will quantum crypto. It's kind of a back and forth game that's going to be played. And you see this with hackers and security communities, you know, the digital security and hackers. It's an everlasting game of back and forth. So that's pretty much the quickest answer I can give. I could go more in depth, but once there is an effect, then there's a reaction. So long-term, that's not something to be worried about, in my opinion.
And we do have a couple of articles in our links page addressing this. We have one called Why This International Quantum Video Hangout is a Big Deal, which is about the first optical fiber-based quantum video around-the-world hangout using quantum encryption. So quantum encryption and quantum computers are starting to be the next big thing in computers. So naturally, everything else will keep up with that.
Yeah, it's very exciting, though.
Yeah, and also is that DARPA has put in about $3.6 million in a grant to the University of Michigan to create an unhackable computer.
Interesting.
So wow, I have a link on that, too. So what are they thinking? What would be unhackable?
Is that even possible? That's the question.
It is. But apparently, DARPA thinks it's worth at least $3.6 million to ask that question. We'll see.
The idea of the blockchain, many say that is also quote-unquote unhackable as well. So, yeah, I'm excited to see that develop.
Another thing in the news today that we had that was related to this, there's something called the Lightning Network. Have you heard of that at all?
Absolutely. I mentioned it in the previous segment, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, but that was a big article at Wired this week.
No, I just briefly mentioned it. Lightning is basically a massive upgrade to the Bitcoin protocol. Mm. As I've said before, there's many different cryptocurrencies, such as Litecoin, which is trying to tackle the idea of a payment protocol, so low transaction fees, instant settlement. And Litecoin is a different currency than Bitcoin. However, Bitcoin is still in development. It's still evolving. So Lightning is a protocol or a implementation that will allow Bitcoin to have extremely low fees and almost near zero latency for transactions, among other benefits. So when that rolls out, that'll be a really big upgrade for Bitcoin and the actual real-world use case as well.
Yeah, that's the real-world case is the key here, where when it starts becoming more economically feasible to use this instead of the existing infrastructure.
Yeah, absolutely. I also should mention, this is breaking news just today, that Stripe, well-respected payments processor, a company called Stripe, has just removed the ability to buy or to use Bitcoin with their service. So their merchants can no longer accept Bitcoin.
Oh, boy.
And the reasoning behind, and they had a very good blog post about that. I think it's a wake-up call a little bit to some of these enthusiasts who are just 100% optimistic on this. And it just shows that it's still in development. And the blog post detailed how right now the transaction times are too slow. In some cases, the volatility can create situations where it just doesn't make it actually, you won't actually lose money.
Yeah, by the time you end the transaction, it's like first you were paying on Stripe for your $50 bill. And by the time you're done adding the tip, it's now worth $75 or something.
Exactly. So these are some core problems to Bitcoin. You know, right now, Bitcoin's more of just a store of value as opposed to a payments currency. However, at the end of the article, they mentioned Lightning. They mentioned how Lightning they're going to reevaluate as it goes on, and how they're also excited about a lot of these cryptocurrencies, such as OMSI Go under the ticker OMG, which is trying to bank the unbanked. It's kind of a similar to Ethereum, but they have their own methodologies. They also mentioned Stellar, which Stripe is invested in. Stellar is another cryptocurrency that moves money across borders quickly, reliably, and for fractions of a penny.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's built on the Ripple. It's a fork of Ripple, which you may have heard of.
Yeah.
Another crypto.
Another core crypto, yeah.
My point is, in the blog post, in this blog post, they're kind of saying, hey, listen, Bitcoin isn't quite ready yet for these payments, but look at these exciting developments, and we're still very excited about this. Yeah. So I thought that was a very balanced view on where cryptocurrency is at right now.
Cool. Okay, so we've got Troy from Felton. Hi, Troy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I want to talk about Bitcoin. Remember the old Billy Preston song? Nothing from nothing leaves you what?
Nothing.
And if you want something, you got to be with me. So there's nothing in Bitcoin. There's no stock. There's no trade. It is a fraud. And it's going all the way down. You know, if you listen to Coast to Coast at night, you will know that's going all the way down. There is nothing there. Absolutely nothing. It's a hoax and a fraud. It's a hope and a prayer. And it's going all the way down. The previous caller, bless his heart and soul, that's all wishful thinking. You know, it's just like all these college kids. They're going to college on their student loans. They're not going to get any job. And these college kids are out there with their protest signs for DACA students, the people that are going to take their very own jobs. So, you know what? I love your show. I think I made my point. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, sure.
There's definitely a lot of fraud, and there's definitely a lot of scams that you have to be careful of. However, it's literally the same thing that people said back in the 90s about the internet. Roger Ver once said that it was going to be no more influential than the fax machine, the internet.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can see how that turned out. So,
well, there's also the understanding of the blockchain, too.
Exactly. You really need to look deeply at the technology to understand the value behind it. However, that being said, we'll see in 5 years, and maybe well, we can call back and see how it's looking in 5 years, that'll give a better perspective.
Yeah, I think also it's important to look at it from an evolutionary point of view. The idea of money in the current systems evolved really before the telegraph even. So the idea of incorporating understandings of electronic exchange did not even exist when money was invented. Now maybe it's about time the system updates itself to incorporate what we really know, especially about real transactions that can be trusted.
Yeah, truly trusted is the key there. Trust is the key. And what cryptocurrency creates is a trustless system. A system where you don't actually have to trust anyone.
The data is readily available. It's transparent.
So listen, Shannon, where can people get a hold of you? Or where can they follow
your
blog posts, etc.?
Yeah. I'm on Twitter, at Shannon Leonard, S-H-A-N-N-O-N-L-E-O-N-A-R-D. I'm tweeting a lot recently about cryptocurrency. Also, my YouTube channel, Shannon Leonard on YouTube, and Instagram as well. I like to post photos there.
And I also noticed you've been doing some Periscopes, too.
Oh, yeah, yep. Yeah. I'm doing some Periscopes about crypto on Twitter. But yeah, please feel free to tweet at me with any questions, comments. I like to hear all different perspectives. I think it's important to hear the criticism, all sides.
But it
was great chatting today.
Yes, thanks for being here, Shannon. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
of course. Thanks so much.
All right. Have a good afternoon.
You too.
And we, Dr. Future Show.
Another week is done again.
Next week.
Thanks again, Shannon.
Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
This is KCO Santa Cruz.